Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
For us, golf is simple. It's a chance to get out and have some fun with our friends. But inevitably, little things have a way of ruining it. The group ahead is taking forever, you can't find the fairway with a map, and the bev cart is nowhere to be found. And the best way to make a bad day better is Fireball Whiskey. You get their nips, the little shooters. They are great. Makes bad day way, way, way better. Make sure to grab the new Fireball Birdie Shot Club. It's literally a golf club filled with Fireball nips. Put it in your bag. It'll fit right in that side pocket. Drink Fireball nips and have a great time on the golf course.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. When did cheap plastic disposables with 90s-style graffiti art become the norm? No offense if Gaudi Pastel is your style, but the Flonk Max Smart embodies a smarter way to vape. The Flonk is sleek and discreet, and the most popular flavors are available nicotine-free and in 2% and 5% strength. A flexible disposable with a smart LED screen, the Flonk churns out 10,000 dense and delicious puffs. Visit MyPod.com and use promo code STOOL for 25% off Flonk vapes.
On today's Part of My Take, we have St. Louis Blues head coach, Stanley Cup champion, possibly the Stanley Cup champion, the defending champions for the next 2 years, Craig Berube. Great interview with him. We've been teasing it for a while, but it was an awesome interview. All-time tough guy, great coach. Even though I hate the Blues, it was a fun interview. We have a packed show for you. Cam Newton gets cut. We have we're ranking the backgrounds for different media members in their Skype home offices. We have Hot Seat Cool Throne, Mount Flushmores, and we promised you we're going to get mad about the NFL 100 this week. We're going to get mad about the tight ends. Spoiler alert, I actually don't know if I'm going to get mad, PFT. I actually don't know if
I'm a little bit mad. Okay. I'm slightly mad. I'm miffed.
Save it. So we have a packed show. We're doing a lot of different things, and we're doing it with
– whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started.
Okay, let's go.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by the Cash App. Go download it right now. Use code Barstool. You get $10 for free, $10 to ASPCA. Today is Wednesday, March 24th, 5th? It's like the 7th or 8th day of the quarantine. The apocalypse is upon us. PFT, you were in a bad mood. Not a bad mood, but you were a down mood. To start, I said, are you ready to go? And you're like, yeah. So let's talk it out. Let's get it out before we get to some sports news.
I mean, I was in a bad mood because we're only like 2 weeks away from the Kill Your Grandparents Challenge. And there's people that I really like that are a little bit older. But you know what? They told me that it was okay. So I'm just trying to see things from their point of view.
Well, I have no grandparents left. So what do I win?
Well, no, it's kill your grandparents. So I have to find somebody's grandparents to kill.
Okay, so but I don't have
grandparents either.
We're like playing laser tag, and I don't even have the vest on. So if you come up,
I'm just
to
trying
me,
to figure out how I'm going to kill someone's grandparents if I'm not allowed to leave my house. So I mean, life finds a way. So I'll figure it out.
Life does find a way. I think we're just going to just go back and forth with our moods. So like Sunday, I was pretty down. Today, you're pretty down. We got to find that yin and the yang. You go down, I'll go up. I go down, you go up. We'll figure it out. Hank will just stay relatively high and playing video games for the next 3 months, and we'll be good.
Stay medium. Shout out Jim Zorn. Yeah, I did see somebody like right after our show was released, a guy that I follow on Twitter, Burrito Bros Shits, tweeted like that feeling when you tune into the sports comedy podcast and they're more depressed than you are.
Yeah, dude. I mean, listen, I'll bring the energy today. You pick me up on Sunday. Let's start with some Cam Newton news. Cam Newton gets cut from the Panthers, officially over. It is a little weird when something like that happens because Cam Newton, like, was the Panthers. Do you know what I mean? The Panthers obviously haven't been an organization for that long. It's Jake Delhomme. It's Cam Newton. And Cam Newton was, you know, the heyday of the Panthers. He was an MVP. And he also never had a really good wide receiver besides Steve Smith and got screwed out of probably some great years of his prime carrying a bad Panthers team to the Super Bowl in 2015, and now it's all over. And what did the Panthers do right after? They signed a wide receiver for like the second most money they've signed a wide receiver for in the last 10 years.
That is funny. Yeah, the best wide receiver he's played was probably Ted Ginn. And then Steve Smith, yeah. I'm not counting him. He was already there before him, but they got Ginn. They got Devin Funchess.
Yep.
And Kelvin Benjamin. About it. Ray Carruth was in the overlap there.
So they had in 2015, Cam Newton won the MVP of the NFL, throwing for 35 touchdowns and running for 10 touchdowns. He took the Panthers to a 15-1 record, and his wide receivers were Ted Ginn, Devin Funchess, Corey Brown, and the 33-year-old Jericho Cotchery. That's incredible. Like, just put that there. And whenever someone – and I know Cam is kind of a polarizing figure sometimes because – he does make it about himself a lot, but who cares? He's an unbelievable player, and he had an unbelievable career, and they did him no favors basically his entire time with the Panthers. I was looking through it. There's a guy. I went through, like, every single year of Cam Newton and who were his wide receivers. So the first few years he had Steve Smith, but he also had a guy. There was a year, 2014, his receivers were Kelvin Benjamin, Jericho Cotchery, Corey Brown, and Brenton Burson.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real guy. Burson. That's a real guy. Yeah. He also had a year where he had Kelvin Benjamin, Devin Funchess, Curtis Samuel, and Russell Shepard. All real guys that played with
that's
Cam
stuff.
Newton.
Yeah, I wish that we had been doing our Chris Bermans for that. Like, I'm not a perfect Burson. Would have been pretty solid to do that. Like, they're just flowing off the tip of my brain right now. No, but yeah, it's like always a bridesmaid, never a bride in terms of the receivers that they brought in. He's a big 27 dresses guy at the podium too. But yeah, they signed a good wide receiver all of a sudden. And now Cam is like, he's on the receiving end of business decision right now. The Panthers are moving on. It's crazy. They got a fifth round pick for Kyler Allen.
Yep.
He was more Kyle than Kyler Murray. So he took the ER. And so they got a fifth round pick for him. And now they couldn't get anything for Cam Newton because of the coronavirus not making it possible to have like a reputable physical done on a quarterback. So they couldn't trade him for anything. And so now he's just kind of like going to test the free market. And there are a few different destinations that I would like to see Cam at just for the excitement of all of it.
All right, let's go through them. I also should mention that in very Bears-like fashion, they traded for and are paying Nick Foles when they could have just waited and not traded for Cam Newton and just signed him. So that was very classic. Like, Ryan Pace probably saw that Cam Newton got cut and was like, wait, how that can happen? Like, I didn't know that was a possibility. He just never saw mm-hmm. that coming. Never, ever saw that coming. And now it's just perfect that that happened. So where would you like to see him?
Patriots number one. I'd still like to see him in Chicago. Like, why not? Why not bring him to Chicago?
Now, and Jameis, yeah.
Yeah, collect them all. Actually, that's a big-time John Gruden move. I could see Gruden going after him because Gruden probably fell in love with Cam Newton watching him in the booth on Monday Night Football. That's what Gruden does, is if he broadcasts a couple of your games or you play well, he's just like he instantly will fall in love with you and remember you for always and forever for being that guy that dominated. And I'm sure that he made a connection with him when he was doing Gruden's quarterback camp thing where he'd sit him down in the room that was just filled with a bunch of VHS tapes and just like watch film for like 5 minutes and just start orgasming spontaneously. Because the only one person that John Gruden didn't love was Jimmy Clausen. Jimmy Clausen, because he like made an excuse. He was like, yeah, I made a route adjustment and my wide receiver didn't see it. He's like, sounds like you're blaming somebody else.
He also didn't like Jay Cutler because John Gruden was friends with Mark Trestman. So that was a very, like, he was very apparent and very, open about his hate for how that all went. And I think I remember exactly when I realized John Gruden just loved every quarterback no matter what. It was the Case Keenum Monday Night Football game with the Texans. When he was saying mm-hmm. that Case Keenum was a ninja and he could see him, like, being a franchise quarterback, I was like, okay, wait, hold on a second. John Gruden just likes everyone. This doesn't make sense. You realize that you're kind of the sucker.
Jaws, I remember at one point fell in love with Brody Croyle. And at that point, I knew, yeah, Jaws just likes quarterbacks.
All-time name, though. All-time name. I think he was 0-10 with the Chiefs. So Cam Newton to the Patriots. Cam Newton to the Raiders would be interesting. How about Cam Newton to the Broncos?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well,
throw that out there.
He kind of fits the John Elway mold of, like, he's tall.
Mm-hmm. Big. Very tall.
He's got a good arm.
Mm-hmm.
John Elway tends to like more, shall we say, ham and eggs type of players.
What do you mean?
Than Cam Newton. I think he likes guys that are like coaches' sons.
Like, how do you mean?
Pastor's sons.
Like, explain it more.
John Elway tends to like guys that he would set up to marry his daughter.
Oh, okay. So So you're saying if he wouldn't want Cam Newton in his house?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying John Elway is the kind of guy that he likes a quarterback that walks in the door and you're like, oh, that guy, he is a coach on the field.
Okay, so Chargers also, I like that. How about Cam Newton going to the Bucks and backing up Brady?
That would be nice. I'd love to see that. Right. I'd like to see maybe the Redskins, maybe the R-Words, collect all the old Carolina Panthers quarterbacks. You're getting your guys in the door. You're installing your system. Why not?
Yeah, that one makes sense. Or how about Cam Newton? Actually, what about Cam Newton to the Texans? Because Bill O'Brien wants to kill Deshaun Watson. So you might want a backup plan there.
That's pretty good, yeah. Or Cam Newton to the Houston Roughnecks. They just lost P.J. Walker.
There you go. So Cam Newton – cut. Is there any other NFL news that's going around? I mean, I feel like I know what the other NFL news that's going around. I don't know who started this rumor, but all of a sudden I looked on Twitter on Monday and people were like, please, you can't cancel the NFL season. I was like, who started this? Why are we talking about this? Don't even talk about it. Don't, if you talk about it, then that means it's a chance that it can be canceled. So don't even bring it up.
I mean, I think we started that rumor with Billy Football.
No.
Getting everybody prepared, saying we can't lose football season.
No, we can't. So I don't – that scared the shit out of me when I saw that. That was the scariest thing I've seen in a while.
That's a big wake-up call. But the markets are opening back up. We're going to get the markets going again. So I think NFL season will be okay, but if for no other reason than to protect Billy Football senior year and ensure that we have an NFL season, stay inside for now. There was some other – I saw you tweet about this today – about how the Falcons assembling nothing but first-round picks is like a great strategy. Did they get another first-round pick?
They got Laquon Treadwell, and I actually think that I'm the GM of the Falcons because I have long been in favor of this strategy with my thoughts of Kevin White being an all-time first-rounder and Shea McClellan also having a first-round grade even though he was not a first-round talent. Like, if you draft someone in the first round, they could suck for 5 years. But when it comes to trading them, I'm like, yo, that was a first rounder. Like, at one point, Mel Kiper had him in the first round. So it's somewhere right in there. I'll take a chance on that. Like, give me Darko. He was a lottery pick. I'll take a chance on that because at some point, someone believed that he was better than Carmelo Anthony. So I'm definitely able to trick my brain. If you have that first round next to you until you're the age of like 30, I think you still got it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. In a way, it's a great way to save money on a scouting department. Let's just say you're the Bengals. You can just let every other team in the NFL do your scouting for you. You just happen to pick up those guys 4 years later after they've already kind of washed out a little bit. So you capitalize on that where you're not spending money. It's tough to do if you pick first overall. I think if you just pick first overall, you just take whoever Stephen A. Smith is less likely to scream at you for drafting. So you just kind of minimize your risk in that way. But yeah, I'm with you. They should actually get Kevin White.
Yeah, they should. He's out there. He's out there to be had. So I would love for him to get for him to hop on the Falcons train. But yeah, I watched the Falcons made a hype video where it was Roger Goodell announcing all the first rounders, basically saying like it's a combination of us sucking and us being like, we'll just buy everyone else's trash to get this many first rounders. But the hype video got me so pumped up, and I walked away from it thinking, there is no chance in hell anyone is stopping the Atlanta Falcons next year.
It's also kind of a risky move for Dan Quinn because you're collecting a bunch of people that could be called coach killers.
Yeah.
A bunch of first round picks that have kind of washed out a little bit. So that's the last person that you want around if you're Dan Quinn. There's one other piece of NFL news. I don't know if you saw this. This was on Reddit. Somebody sent me this link today from Eagles Nation 11, a longtime poster on the NFL Reddit. He ran the numbers, a little sabermetrics for you, and he calculated the correlation between Mitch Trubisky's passer rating and the number of strip clubs per capita in the state in which he's playing, so kind of the James Harden thing. And using the data, he found that there was a strong positive correlation between, I think, the amount of strip clubs per city, but there's no correlation between the strip clubs per state that he pays in. So I don't know. Does he really love to kiss titties?
Well, this person, I like what they're doing. I like the thought because that's quarantine brain. Like, I need something to do. But anyone who knows anything knows that the NFL, like, they don't travel till Saturday afternoon and then they don't do anything. But I like the thought.
Yeah, that's a good point. So
it kind of pokes a hole in it. Like, they literally go from their facility, fly into the other team's facility or, you know, city, do their meeting, do their dinner, go to sleep.
I'll tell you what, my brain is ruined in terms of graphs right now. I can't read a graph unless it's in logarithmic scale.
Right. And it's in deaths. It needs to be deaths over time.
Give me deaths and give me a curve that gets flattened somehow. Like, I guess the arc of Mitchell Trubisky's passes.
Or if you're Clay Travis, just give me one day where the deaths go down and then you can declare victory.
Yeah, that, you know what we should start doing? Like a little coronavirus positivity. The following people did not die yesterday of coronavirus. And then just list five people who are still alive.
I was thinking actually about tweeting out at some point, just being like, CC Clay Travis, 100% of people on Earth die. So it kind of puts coronavirus in perspective how pussy it is.
That's a really good point. And it's like, yeah, are we going to get upset because a couple dozen thousand people pass away? Not me. I'm a big picture kind of guy. And when you look at it, the following people are still alive: Jameis Winston, Bill Murray,
Tom Hanks,
Tom Hanks still alive. We don't know.
Bob Barker.
Is he?
Yes, he is.
Tommy Lasorda.
Yes.
That's what we should do. A little coronavirus positivity going today. Tommy Lasorda is still alive.
Tommy Lasorda. I would imagine coronavirus gets on Tommy Lasorda and it just dies immediately on impact because it's just too much marinara. It's just like it soaks in the marinara and the coronavirus becomes some delicious meatballs.
Our Tommy's just like, I'll kick your ass, virus. Yeah, and the virus fucker. Is like, yeah, I don't want that smoke.
All right, quickly, before we do Hot Seat Cool Throne, we have to talk about everyone's Skype backgrounds in the sports world, even in the like business world too. If you do CNN, everyone has their, you know, they're Skyping in from their kitchen, from their living room. So we're basically getting a peek into every single person's home the last couple weeks. Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating to look at. So big picture, I just had one note at first, PFT, and I'll let you go from there. But I think it's a big-time try-hard move, like Orlovsky, I think I saw, to have, like, the blatant I have kids thing, where you're like, look at this. Like, oh, my kids did a hand paint on this football. Or look at this picture of my perfect family at the beach where we're all wearing white linen clothes. Like, get that fucking shit out of my face. I know what you're trying to do. As a family man myself, people look at you differently when you're a family man. They give you the benefit of the doubt. They're like, hey, that guy can't be a serial killer. He has kids. But I'm not buying it. Get the kid stuff out.
Dan Orlovsky has several game balls, but most of them aren't actually game balls. They're just footballs with his kids' handprints on them. So he is constantly reminding people watching him, hey, if you're going to tweet at me about running out of the back of the end zone, just remember you're doing that to a father of three.
Yes.
However many kids that he has set up. So exactly. Actually, you know what Dan should do? This just occurred to me. If I'm Dan Orlovsky, he likes to joke about the whole running out of the back of the end zone thing. His background should just be him like behind the end zone. And then to his right should be the end zone. And then to his right again should be like the 5, 10, 15 yard line. So he's just permanently in the back of the end zone when he's on TV. But yeah, so Dan, in his setup, he's got a few game balls. He's got a picture of an NFL player wearing number 69.
That's Jared Allen. That's an homage to the back of the end zone. So he's like,
that's what it
hey
was.
Guys, I'm making the joke before you can make the joke.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I thought it was just an homage to mutual oral sex, which would have been cool too.
No.
He also has his most prominent commemorative football celebrates a 300-yard passing game that he had against the Patriots. So I looked it up. They lost that game 31-24.
That's okay.
The Colts against the Patriots. That's not bad. You put up 24 against the Pats.
You also have, for example, Will Brinson, who we consider a friend. He just basically threw a bunch of shit behind him on his desk. He is a classic case of a guy who wasn't ready for the intrusiveness of a home camera every single day and being under like house arrest, because his stuff, like, get a shelf, dude. He has no shelf. It's just random things that are tossed on his desk, and he looks like he, you know what he looks like? He looks like a hoarder, and that's coming from a hoarder. You don't want to look like a hoarder.
Well, it's extra funny for Will because I think he did a show every single day from his house.
Yeah.
So he's used to it. But I mean, that's exactly what I would do. I've noticed that it's a copycat league big time, and just about everyone has books behind them. A lot of people own books, and I think it's because you want to make people think that maybe you could be a lawyer if you read enough of those books, and that be careful what you say about me because I'll sue you. Maybe a little subtweet of Mike Florio. I don't know, but there are a lot of bookshelves out there.
Yeah, there are. It's definitely when you do the bookshelves, it's a show off move. Like, hey, I read. I do appreciate guys like Nick Wright though, that did not see this pandemic coming whatsoever, and it's so clear that much like us. Like, Nick lives in New York City, so his apartment probably isn't that big. He's just sitting, like, on the wall in his kitchen and threw a couple things up on the wall being like, hey, here's my office. But I bet you if you took a step back, he's like his kids are eating breakfast like 2 feet away from him because we all live in New York City, and you can't possibly have an apartment bigger than that.
Yeah, he just has a Royals World Series ticket, a fake World Series ticket, and then a giant Patrick Mahomes Super Bowl champion fake newspaper. So it's just all Kansas City stuff. I guess the LeBron James real doll is just off screen. Like, maybe it's folded up in the closet, going like lips to feet on that one. I don't know, just got folded up or something. Actually, I bet the side of the door on his door frame, instead of like marking his children's height, it's just LeBron, how tall he's been saying LeBron James is year over year. So now it's like LeBron James, 6'9", 320 pounds.
Yeah. Now that I'm looking at this, I think that's just his refrigerator. I think he's sitting in front of his refrigerator. He's just got a big, like, that's, he's got an apartment that's not so big, but the refrigerator's huge. Yeah. You know, like, in New York City, sometimes you'll go into an apartment if you're looking for apartments, like, this place is a box. But check out the Sub-Zero, and you're like, all right, fuck, man, I might have to rent this place because the refrigerator. Like, did you see that refrigerator? It's the little things in New York that can really reel you in.
So the next one I had here was Mike Greenberg. So Mike Greenberg, he's in his house. He's got a couple books behind him. They're the ones that Mrs. Greenberg has whitelisted for him. They don't contain sexual content, so he's allowed to read those ones. The ones she hasn't burned yet for him. And then there's probably the biggest Big J flex of all time over his left shoulder, which is the Northwestern Syracuse game ball in a game that he didn't play in, but it's called the Pros Bowl, P-R-O-S-E Bowl.
Oh,
so it's a matchup between the biggest journalism schools in the country. And I guess Northwestern won that one by 30 points, but they're not credited anymore as a journalistic institution. They got their Big J taken away. But Green is prominently displaying that one, and he's got an Emmy. I should actually look up. What do you think Mike Greenberg won an Emmy for?
Probably Get Up.
Some like journalistic, like E60 Bob Lee
type journalism
story.
Best ad read.
No,
his name is.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mike Greenberg's name is Michael Darrow Greenberg. His middle name is Darrow. That's interesting.
Darrow?
Like the
D-A-R-R-O-W.
Oh, wow.
No, 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 no.
Okay. And what did he win an Emmy for? This is, by the way, people who don't, who just a little behind the scenes, this entire segment was based off of Greenie's. This is BFT's, like, I like it. You're like, and next up we have Greenie. It's like, dude, that's what you wanted to talk about.
I wanted to touch on Greenie real quick.
No, I've been looking at all these backgrounds this week. It's been a source of great entertainment for me.
Looking at them, and I'm kind of roasting them in my head, and then I realize, like, mine is absolutely the most.
We all have shit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, let's power rank ours. Mine sucks. It's an empty wall.
Mine's a big wall with a half of a window.
Empty wall?
Yeah.
Yeah. I should just put one giant book behind me. I read too, guys.
The only other one I had was Seth Wickersham has the guitar on the wall, which is a classic guitar guy move to be like, hey, guys, ask me if I play guitar. Here it is.
Yeah, actually, what Seth Wickersham has, it's a big time set up your man cave for the job you want, not the job that you have, because he's got a big Bruce Springsteen picture behind him. And then his guitar that he has up there is a Bruce Springsteen model Telecaster.
Oh, wow.
Huge J move on his part to be paying homage to the boss.
Yes. Hell yes. Peter King is looking at that and lapping it up.
The other one that I had flagged here is Mark Teixeira. I actually think he has the funniest setup for an at-home office, because I looked close at it, because I was like, this is the most generic I used to be a baseball player setup of all time. And once you zoom in, I'm 99% sure it's a green screen, and ESPN imagined what Mark Teixeira's home studio would look like if he had one.
Yes, yes, because it looks like it's a cubicle at ESPN. So I think what they did, they might even have taken a picture of his cubicle at ESPN and then green screened it into his house.
No, 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 no. I think that it's like a computer animation.
The whole thing?
I don't think that it's a real picture. I think that they sat somebody down and they were like, hey, imagine if you were designing a Grand Theft Auto side mission where you had to break into Alex Rodriguez's house and steal a Centaur painting. And then they just came up with that. Zoom in on it, because I'm
– yeah, I know
I'm
what you're saying. Sure. The baseball looks like it's fake. Yeah, and they basically were like, all right, so what are his likes? Baseball,
the
books,
Rangers,
but not too many books. And
the Yankees.
Yeah, that's about
ESPN.
It.
ESPN.
Yeah, put a camera up there just to make it seem like he's a world traveler. All right, that's –
there's cool. No underwear. We know you like the free ball, Mark.
Mm-hmm. This is what quarantine does. We have to just sit there and look at other people's backgrounds and judge them. And we're judging all of them. So just so you know, if you have a background, we're judging you.
Shannon Sharp also just has his dog with him a lot.
Yeah, I like that. That's pretty cool. I like that. You can't control your
dog.
And
he does it from his kitchen, which I actually think is a little subtle troll of Skip Bayless for not talking to his celebrity chef brother. So just getting in his head a little bit.
And his dick microwave.
Exactly.
Yeah. He's like, because can you see the microwave behind Shannon? That would be great. Yeah, I think you – oh, no, that's the hood on his oven. All right, let's do our hot seat cool throne. Before we do that, it's brought to you –
hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Okay. Hank, what's your hot seat cool throne? I keep forgetting you're there because of your background.
No, that's you. My hot seat is Kim Kardashian, Kanye West. I'm sure you guys were already all up to date on the drama, but
oh yeah, big time.
Mm-hmm. Actually, to be honest, I kind of was catching up on everything today. I still am not fully sure what's going on, but they basically just got roasted for posting, like, Kim Kardashian 3 years ago posted a video slandering Taylor Swift. Like, all of their fans were roasting her, and then apparently the real video came out. I guess someone that, like, hates Kim Kardashian and Kanye West were just like, fuck this, I'm going to leak the real video. And then Kim Kardashian, like, tried to defend it, looked like an idiot. She's getting ratioed. She's getting roasted, and tried to be like, it was insensitive of Taylor to bring this up during coronavirus. Yeah. People just dragged her for basically everything she said.
Hank, what's really going on is the Keeping Up with Kardashians is debuting at a new time, new day on Thursdays. That's episode one, Thursday. And they put that tweet out today. And I was like, oh, okay. So it just happened to have drama that went viral and had everyone talking about it. The Kardashians know no shame. If they do something, it's clearly, it's like a two, you'll find out what they're doing two moves later. That's all it is.
Wow.
Yeah. They release it themselves. Mm-hmm. They even though they look bad, they don't care. Think about it. They have an entire like enterprise built off of a sex tape. So there is no shame. They will go all the way to the lowest possible spot. If they even look like assholes,
sex shaming,
they
Big
don't
Cat?
Care. No, I'm saying they will look like assholes to go viral. They don't care.
Yeah, I feel like mm-hmm. I've been duped now. Hot seat me.
Yeah, hot seat you.
Bubba brought up a good point, which is you have to really fuck up to get ratioed on a tweet if you have 22 million or no, 64 million followers.
Yeah.
Oh, she, and it was like she was doing
you really screwed up
crazy numbers.
Yeah. So she, I mean, it's not a bad spin zone to be like, hey, why is everybody mad at me? Shouldn't we all be mad at the old people for not killing themselves selectively?
Mm-hmm.
And then my cool throne is the Cat Cave Derby. Big Cat, I don't know if you were going to bring this up. Did I just steal that from you?
No, you didn't.
It has been very electric day by day. You do it every single day from the Cat Cave.
Yeah.
That's my cool throne.
It's today was a little bit of controversy because I turned up the electricity without telling anyone. Probably should have let bettors know. But you know what? My track, my rules. And I bought... This is what quarantine brain's doing. I bought an eight lane track, and I also bought a bugle.
Okay, that's nice. Yeah. Well, now, is there any particular horse that's better than the others?
No, it's actually been Kenny, the white horse, has been a little bit better, but Kenny has won four times. All the other horses have won, though. So
have you named all the horses yet?
Three out of four I've named.
That's kind of messed up.
Well, the brown horse, it took a while. I was naming him slowly. The brown horse is actually going to be named Spiral Ham. Breaking news.
Wow.
I let Kelly Martin, our friend Kelly Martin, name the brown horse.
Wow, that's big of you. Did she? Mm-hmm. Did we get a big guest out of that? Out of that trade-off?
No, just talked her off the ledge. So.
Oh, that's nice.
Okay, who was your cool throne, Hank?
That was my
cool throne. Oh, yeah, that was your cool throne. What's yours, PFTs?
My hot seat is... I'm going to say Dude Perfect. I'm putting Dude Perfect on the hot seat. I don't know if you've seen them recently, but they were showing off the gong that they have in their Dude Perfect warehouse that they do all their trick shots in on mm-hmm. the first take. And it says proudly made in Wuhan right on the big gong there. So many people are asking, is Dude Perfect responsible for a lot of the stuff that's going on in the world? I would never say something like that, but there's been a lot of chatter. Heavy chatter that's been picked up on the internet.
Wow.
So seems fair.
Yeah. My other hot seat is excuses. Okay. Just in general.
It was definitely Cody.
Yeah. Cody was like, I got this cheap gong, dude. It's no big deal. Like sometime in, I would say probably late December, early January.
Yeah. Yeah. That's when they got it imported for sure.
It's like, we'll do 2-day shipping. Make sure that it's got everything on it.
My other hot seat is excuses, and I think you guys can relate to this, but as we're all sheltering in place, we have no excuses to not do anything, and it's tough. If somebody just asks you to do something, mm-hmm. you can't be like, no, I have plans, or no, that doesn't work for me. I've got other stuff to do. It's like, no, you have to say yes to most things. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows. Everyone's all in the same boat, and it stinks not having any excuses. My only excuse I could possibly make is like, oh, I'm taping part of my take, or I have to take Leroy for a walk. That's about it.
Just telling you, PFT, just have a kid. Kid is always the ultimate excuse. I can always just be like, yeah, he's napping. Sorry.
Or PFT, mm-hmm. just say you're streaming and it sounds like you're doing something, but you're really just playing video games. Like, mm-hmm. oh, I got to stream.
Sounds just like I'm taking a piss.
I got to stream for a couple of hours. Yeah.
I pee every 2.5 hours. So that's getting into my, my bathroom schedule right now.
Tell people that you can see the recession coming and you're pinching pennies. So you're paying by the minute on internet.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm working on my charts, on my stock charts right now.
Yes.
I'm going to time the bounce back really well on this one. My other hot seat is the rest of the CAA. I don't actually, I don't even know if Liberty University is still in the CAA or not.
Liberty, when it comes to football. I don't know where the fuck Liberty is. Yeah.
I think they might be independent. They're FBS, but
they I don't think anyone wants them in a conference, in their conference.
They're going back to school, and Hugh Freeze, who has a lot of experience coaching from a hospital bed, is getting ready to whip these boys into shape. So I think that they might come out of the gate real strong next year, or really, really, really bad. One of the two.
Mm-hmm. They're in the Atlantic Sun Conference.
Okay.
Who could forget?
Good. That's a real conference.
Yes.
My cool throne is having sex with your roommates. So the city of New York slapped a hard no on ass eating season. They said, don't eat ass. It's bad. It's bad for you in these trying times. And if you're going to have sex with somebody, have it be someone that you live with right now. So that way it's not like you're going out there and cross-contaminating other people's roommates. So after about like a couple of weeks, just look at your roommate and shrug and be like, we have to do this for our own sanity and for mm-hmm. safety, mm-hmm. public health.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. All right, my hot seat is doing nothing is on my hot seat because as I found this past weekend, doing nothing makes doing nothing not fun anymore. It's killing doing nothing. Like doing nothing is what I live for. I live for the mm-hmm. weekends where I can sit and do absolutely nothing. But now that doing nothing is our job, doing nothing sucks. So it's ruined doing nothing for me.
Yeah, you're right. Doing nothing is traditionally an escape from doing something.
Right.
And if we don't have anything to escape from, then doing nothing becomes our doing something.
Right. Like this past
and now
weekend,
doing something is our escape from doing nothing.
Right. Yes, exactly. So this past weekend, I did absolutely nothing, but it was no different than all my other weekends. Like I don't do anything anyway, but it sucked because it was escape from doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Sucks.
That's
man.
Tough.
Sucks. And then my cool throne is us, PFD, because if you had seen Jake Marsh reported earlier today that both of us have canceled our dog walks due to the CDC guidelines, but we are paying our dog walkers full salary. We're not like the Sixers cutting 20% or some of these other organizations that have to be shamed into paying their employees. We paid our employees without any publicity whatsoever. We just had our intern slash he's now a full-time worker tweet it out for us and then also blog it for us.
We're also paying Jake Marsh.
Right.
A full-time rate.
Right.
In these
exactly.
times. So
true.
Yeah. I mean, I actually don't know how Jake got that scoop, but I mean, he asked me for comment and I didn't want to comment on the record. I just retweeted every quote tweet about it. But yeah, I mean, credit to us. I think we're doing the right thing. We didn't have to be bullied by the internet into doing it. We elected to do this on our own. In mm-hmm. fact, my dog walker, I don't even have a regular full-time dog walker because I only use our dog walker when Leroy, like if I'm out of town or something like that, something comes up and I'm not able to let him out. But I'm just going to start Venmoing him every week, Venmoing him cash, and he'll be like, why is PFT sending me cash right now? I'm sorry, I'm going to be cash-apping him cash, and mm-hmm. he'll be like, why am I getting this cash? It'll just be a nice little bonus for him.
Yeah. My dog walker emailed and was like, does Stella need walks? And I was like, no, but you need money. Here it is. That's exactly mm-hmm. how I phrased it. And then I said, mm-hmm. why don't you tell me how awesome I am? And they're like,
yeah.
dude, like you're supposed to do this without praise. And I was like, oh, yeah, my bad.
I'm sending my weed guy money.
Everyone gets
twice
money.
A week.
Yeah, I'm yeah. sending everyone money just out of the goodness of my heart. I'm keeping the economy going by myself.
Thank you, Big Cat.
I'm tipping. I tip everyone, even though I don't go anywhere. But in my uh-huh. mind, if I went somewhere, I would tip them extra.
That's huge.
Damn, it's huge. All right, let's get to our interview. We have St. Louis Blues head coach Craig Berube on the show, live in person. We taped this before coronavirus swept the nation. So if we sound happier, that's why. It was actually a world where March Madness is still existed.
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Okay, here he is, St. Louis Blues head coach, Craig Berube. Okay, we now welcome on a very special guest. It is the head coach of the St. Louis Blues, defending Stanley Cup champions,
Craig Berube. Now, coach, can we call you coach?
Yeah, okay. Sure.
All right. I feel like that's the way to go. Coach, I want to let you know before we start that you are allowed to swear on this podcast because I did some research and you like to swear. Would that be a fair assessment?
In the right situation.
Okay.
I don't mind it.
Let me give you a situation real quick. If a fan tapped on the glass and said, hey, coach, can I get a selfie with you in the middle of a game, would you say no or would you say fuck no?
To be honest, I wouldn't even look back.
There it is.
I would ignore it.
Yeah, I found a clip of right before you guys took the ice for Game 7 in the Stanley Cup. Can I read you the quote that you had for the pump up for the boys? Can I read it to you?
You can read
it. Okay, you said, pump it up here. We're here for a fucking reason because we're a fucking good hockey team and we're going to fucking come home with a cup here tonight. Let's fucking go. I got pumped up just watching that.
A lot of F-bombs.
Yeah. Do you ever walk out after you give a pregame speech and you're like, shit, I that was a lot of swearing by me. Whoops.
I don't even think about it before I even go in there, to be honest with you. It happens. I come out and just feel it and talk to the team, you know, whatever I feel is needed at the time. And at that point, I didn't think there was really much to say. We're in Game 7 of Stanley Cup Final. Let's go.
Yeah.
And, you know, so they were ready.
Yeah. So the season, obviously, incredible season, ends with the Stanley Cup, you know, you lifting the cup. But it starts with you taking over as interim head coach and you guys being the last place team as late as January 3rd. How the heck did you guys turn that whole thing around? Like, was there a moment? We always talk about the beginning of a championship DVD. Was there that moment that you can think back and be like, that's where it all clicked for the team and we kind of turned everything around?
I would say mid-December, right around Christmas time, we went on a road trip out west, played Edmonton, Vancouver, and Calgary, I believe. And that was a great trip. I thought we played excellent hockey. We didn't get as many wins as we wanted to. If I think back, maybe we won one out of three only, but we were playing real solid hockey and the way we needed to play to win and to get on a roll. And then Binnington came up. He was up with us already, and we started him in that Philly game, and he played really well. And kind of like I thought that, you know, his next start, he won again. So now the team started to really believe in what was going on, and it really boosted the confidence of the team. And we just rolled from there. Like, you know, we had a lot of good players. There's a lot of good players in there. And once we really started to come together as a team and play for each other on the ice, it doesn't matter what you do off the ice. You can be buddies with your teammates and do all this shit. But if you don't play on the ice, you won't win. You won't go anywhere. And once that started to come, you know, we rattled off 11 in a row. I knew we were pretty good.
Yeah.
What typically comes first, being really tight with your guys on the ice and then developing those friendships outside of the rink, or being boys off the ice, then you come in and you're able to kind of use that relationship that you have to be a solid line?
I think all the guys nowadays, they all know each other. You know, it's funny how the league is really formed. The NHL Players Association has really tightened up these players. Like, they all know each other. They're all buddies. So when you get a team, half of them know each other already, so they're already tight off the ice.
Yeah.
But you got to get that tightness on the ice and that team, and we really stress team first mindset with our group, and they really, you know, took it and ran with it. You know, they do a good job of that, of staying in that. And as coaches, we got to remind them and we got to keep harping on it and bringing it up. But that to me is the biggest thing.
Yeah, so, have you noticed, like, Ryan Whitney and Paul Bissonnette? These are two guys that should hate each other, but you listen to their podcast, they're all buddy buddy. It's sickening. It's gross. Like, Biz Nasty's not someone that should be anyone's friend. All of a sudden, he's like cuddling up with Whitney.
Yeah.
It's gross.
It's true. So going back to that, so what you're saying there, when the league has become guys of, you know each other better, friendly with each other, when you were playing, I would assume it's very different. And I'm wondering how that played into, you were an enforcer, 3,000 penalty minutes. I think it was 241 fights. That position, the enforcer, has kind of gone away from today's NHL. Is that part of the reason why, that guys know each other more and fighting is just not as prevalent?
No, it's changed the way the game's played and how it's thought of, first of all. And, you know, I don't really – I mean, I think it's gotten better, to be honest with you. I think Gary Bettman's done an excellent job of that, of turning this game – changing the game, I guess. you know, there's still fights in the game and things like that, but it's not as important as it was when I played. So when I played, it was really important. It was a big part of the game. You know, you look at Gretzky, he's always had Dave Semenko, Marty McSorley, wherever he went, he had somebody around him because you just needed that comfort and that a guy to look after stuff in the locker room, on the ice, things like that. That's not there anymore. If there's a fight in the ice, it's just out of emotion. Guys, you know, something happened and they get after it. But when I played, you weren't buddies with the other teammates. And if your coach saw you talking to a guy on the other team or talking to a guy even before the game, like they were pissed off.
Really?
And they tell you, they come up and tell you and say, what are you doing? Like, you know, we don't need that, you know. So it was just different mindset back then. And all sports were like that.
Yeah.
And then it's all sports have changed. You know, they're just, that's the way it is.
Did you know when you were going into a game, like, all right, this is the guy I'm going to have to fight tonight, no matter what? Like, no matter what happens, I'm going to have
pretty
to fight
much.
Him.
Like, there was always, you know, every game I played, I loved it when there was nobody. I actually could relax.
Right.
Enjoy the game a little bit. But, you know, every game, every team we played, there's always a couple guys, and you knew you were going to get into it with them for the most part.
Would you scout them? Would you be like, all right, this guy's got a deadly left, got to stay away from him?
The whole team did, basically. All the guys would talk about it before the game. Well, watch his left. He's got a big right-hand punch. But you knew, anyhow, how he fought and what was going to happen. I didn't really watch tape on it at all, but I know there's guys that have done that.
Yeah.
Did you always like fighting?
I don't really know if I ever liked it that much. I mean, I just did a lot of it. I mean, even growing up, I did a lot of it. Like, as a kid, you know, I grew up with 15, 20 cousins around me every day. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to get in fights. And that's the way it was. So I kind of grew up, you know, in that mindset. And, you know, as a player, I needed to do that to play in the NHL. Otherwise, I wouldn't have played in the NHL.
So I read a story that when you were 16, you won a tough man competition. Now, was that your coach told you to do it? Or you just were like, hey, I want to fight in this tough man competition?
No, it was pretty much him. I went to Williams Lake, B.C., played junior hockey there as a 16-year-old. And after the season, he asked me what I was going to do. I said, going to go back home to my hometown with my family and stuff. He goes, well, I got this, so you think you're tough, I'd like you to fight in it. So I said, okay, because, you know, I didn't say no, and during the year I was doing a lot of boxing because he had us boxing a lot and working with guys, you know, fighters and things like that, to learn how to handle yourself. And it was actually really good for me, anyhow. And so how it worked, I said, well, who's going to train me? And he goes, I am. I said, oh, yeah? He says, yeah, you're going to come over every afternoon, 4 o'clock. We're going to go down in the basement, and we're going to put the gloves on, and we're going to go at it for a while, and then my wife will feed you dinner, and you can go home.
That's a good deal.
I'm not lying. That's what we did, and his two boys were watching there, like young kids, like 7 years old or whatever, and me and the guy's name was John Van Hordeck. We'd go in this basement, put the gloves on, no headgear, no mouthpieces, nothing, and spar for an hour or so.
Jesus.
And I'd go up and have dinner, and that was it.
That probably did a lot for you, though.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it definitely did. He's a big part of why I'm here today, like, or why I played in the NHL, for sure. He groomed me as a young kid and got me to, you know, become that kind of a player, and that's how I was going to play.
So we have a tough man type of league that we actually own, and we have pay-per-views. It's called Rough and Rowdy. We, no joke, this week had someone drop out of a fight that was a $100,000 prize purse. Do you think you want to maybe pay-per-view?
No, get back in there? Not me.
$100,000? I'll spar with you in the basement. We'll get ready. You can kick my ass every day.
I'm too old now.
What if it was against another coach?
Ooh.
Like, we'll do an age range here, an age bracket. We won't make you fight a 21-year-old.
Who would you – do you think you're the toughest coach?
I don't know.
If we had to say, like, every coach gets in a big fight, and it's like – it's almost like Royal Rumble. We throw everyone in the ring. Who survives?
Oh, I'll probably come out of there.
Yes, hell yeah. I like that confidence.
Barry Trotz seems like he'd be tough to knock out just because he's got that volcano neck.
I like that confidence a lot. Do you ever, when you're, like, coaching, because it's always funny, the, you know, like, NFL and Major League Baseball, the coaches don't have to wear suits. Do you ever think, like, hey, why the hell do I have to wear a suit behind this bench?
Yeah, we always talk about that. But, you know, in the end, I think it's important to look good back there. I don't know about being in track suits, or baseball is different. You know, and NFL is different too. Like, it's just different. I think, you know, a hockey, a coach being in a suit back there, it looks good.
Tracksuit would be awesome.
Tracksuit, yeah. If you had a nice, like, velour.
Yeah.
Gold chain maybe going.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Or you go think casual, go T-shirt and like some JNCOs.
Think about it.
That'd be sweet too.
Think about it.
Well, John Tortorella wears a sweater and his suit now. So
that's true.
A nice like high turtleneck.
Yeah,
yeah, he looks like he's going to a Christmas party,
like a movie producer or something like that.
Keeps him warm. Them rinks are cold.
Yeah.
You mentioned Gretzky a while ago. I'm curious to know where you fall on the side of the debate of greatest goal scorer of all time. Is it the great one or is it the great with the number 8 one, Alexander Ovechkin?
Well, you know, Gretzky's for me, he's the greatest. Like what he's done. It's hard to knock that, but number 8 in Wash is he's right up there for goal scoring. I'll tell you what, in an era to score as many goals as he does in this era of hockey and the goaltending is ridiculous. Like this guy is an amazing player, really is.
So you get the interim head coaching job, you win the Stanley Cup. You never get officially the head coaching job until after the season. So when you sit down with the front office, did you just laugh? Like, was it just like a good hearty laugh? Like, come on, guys. Like,
no.
What's the negotiation here? I just want a Stanley Cup.
No, I talked with our GM before that, you know, and it was all going to be worked out. We just left it as it was, which was the right thing to do, I think, at the time.
So, yeah. I mean, it's happened twice in hockey, and it's a hilarious idea that you coached the entire season, essentially, but you were still the interim head coach winning the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, and I was fine with it, to be honest with you. I wasn't really too worried about it or paid much attention to it at all. I really didn't.
If you guys go on a losing streak, will you go back? You like slap the interim back on? Let me earn it back?
I guess you never know.
Yeah. I mean, was it a little bit of a concern that maybe you'll stop being as hungry now that you're no longer the interim head coach?
Concerned by me?
Yeah.
Not by me.
Yeah.
I don't know if they thought that, but.
Well, you did it too with the Flyers when you took over the Flyers and you know, mid-season, you guys had a bounce back. Is there something about your coaching style that can get more? Because we talk about it all the time with football coaches. You'll get an interim head coach, and usually the team will have a nice bounce because they're fighting for their jobs and they want to play for this new guy. Do you think that there's something in your style that brings that out of guys where they start maximizing their potential?
There could be. I mean, I try to demand the most out of our players, like as every individual and the team. So I push. I mean, but, you know, being the head coach now, I don't really coach any differently than I did last year. I feel like I bring the same kind of mindset this year. You obviously got to do things differently at times to change things up and stuff like that and motivate. But for the most part, my style has not changed one bit.
Yeah.
Now, it says that you're a very honest guy. A very honest coach, maybe sometimes a little too honest, or at least the guys, they always know where they stand when you're talking. Have you ever found that, like, maybe sometimes you don't have to be as directly honest if it's a guy that, like, can't handle that type of coaching? Or are you just going to be who you are no matter what?
Well, I mean, you gotta approach probably every player a little bit differently, but you know, you can really get after some players that can handle it, but you got to know which players can handle it. And if you see them start to well up, you just say, okay, that's enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I read that you are considered a player's coach. And I assume that's a compliment that you like to know. You know, whenever someone says a player's coach, that means that the coach is just very in tune with their players.
Yeah,
and their
I mean,
team.
I think I understand all the guys. I try to have conversations with them on a daily basis and know, you know, what they're doing, not only in hockey, but in life and their families and things like that. But at the same time, they know that, you know, I demand a lot from them, and this is how you got to play, or you're probably not going to play.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, that's just so they know what they need to do and what's demanded of them. But I'm very approachable. I mean, I want my players to come talk to me about anything.
Yeah,
one of the things I like the most about hockey is the nicknames that get handed out to players. It's either, in my experience, it's usually like a stir, like it's a Gregster. Or like something with an O at the end, like a Gordo or something like that. Is there a flow chart that you have to go to decide who's a stir, who's an O?
And we just make them up.
Yeah?
What was yours when you were playing?
Chief.
Chief? Never like Rubes or Baruby? I mean, you have it ends with a vowel so that you get.
Well, I had the nickname Chief when I was a young kid. So like It's kind of always been my nickname.
And that comes from come from First Nation, right, in Canada?
Yeah, I have some.
So I'm very ignorant on like the lineage there, but that's pretty cool, and I'm sure that's a lot of pride for you to have, you know, that heritage and be in the NHL.
I grew up, with a bunch of native reserves around where I live. Played a lot of hockey and ball with all those guys growing up. And as an adult, when I was older, hockey and ball. So I grew up with all those guys.
When you say ball, what?
Fastball, fast pitch.
Fast pitch baseball?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. You're not on Twitter. Is that?
No.
Is that for a specific reason? Are you?
I don't have
school?
Any social media.
Do you hate social media?
I don't know if I hate it. I just don't deal with it. I don't have no time for it.
Sounds like you hate it. You got to do the old coach thing, like the Bill Belichick snap face.
I don't. Yeah, I just don't need to do anything. I don't need to talk to anybody about that stuff or be on it or even socialize that way.
Yeah, there's really limited.
Yeah, you hate it.
There's limited upside for a coach to be on social media, I would think, because no matter how good you're doing, you're gonna have 90% of people out there, you know, talking shit about something that you did. So there's a lot of negativity.
No, I mean, everybody's got their own opinion, and, you know, I just, whatever, I don't need to hear it.
So you just want to fight them. There's like no way this, for you to like fight this. Somebody no, online.
I
mean,
you do hate
all
it.
All I care about is our team.
Yeah.
That's it.
You don't care about going viral?
Mm-mm.
It's kind of cool, though. It's kind of cool.
No.
Here's a good question. What's the difference between a tough guy and a dirty player?
I would say, like, a dirty player, somebody that, you know, does things out there. So when I played, if somebody hits somebody from behind, he does it, you know, on a consistent basis, uses his stick a lot, you know, things like that. That's considered a dirty player. Mm-hmm. A tough guy is somebody that probably, you know, if somebody wants to fight, answers the bell, steps in for his teammates, you know, handles all that kind of stuff, that would be considered a tough guy.
I've mm-hmm. always wondered from a coach's perspective how you handle a player on your own team that might be kind of pushing those boundaries or starting to cross those lines, because you like a certain amount of aggression. You want your guys to be tough. You want your guys to play physically. But, like, if he starts to cross the line, how do you deal with a player like that and kind of, like, try to draw him back without changing his playing style?
Well, we really, our team's not very penalized, to be honest with you. We're like one of the top least penalized teams in the league. So, and we play hard. We're probably right up there with the most physical team in the league. So we don't allow our guys to take penalties. I mean, there's no reason to. And there's no reason to, you know, hit people from behind or, you know, use your stick wrong. You can play hard and be physical and be clean at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So we really try to preach that part of the game. I don't want to be in a penalty box very often. And our guys do a pretty good job of it.
You guys, part of winning the Cup, you know, you guys were a very physical team, very powerful team. The NHL has kind of gone back and forth, like, in terms of generations and how it ebbs and flows, even 5 years ago with teams being a little smaller, more skilled. Do you think that, like, being this powerful, bigger team wears down on opponents?
It can. I think it's whatever, you know, as a individual or a coach, is how you look at the game and how you want to play the game. The way I want to play the game, we need size and strength and being physical.
Mm-hmm.
Opposed to, like, you know, like, there's a lot of teams that have a lot of skill and they're fast and
right.
they're dangerous and they're good teams. That
right.
doesn't mean they can't win that way.
Yeah.
You can win both ways. The St. Louis Blues choose to try to do it this way. Like Washington Capitals, they're a big physical team, and that's the way they play.
It's interesting, though, just watching it go back and forth. I just remember one of my favorite quotes of all time was Ryan Getzlaff in the playoffs against the Hawks, and he was like, no team can sustain this amount of physical punishment, and the Hawks were just better, and they beat them, and the Ducks. And it was like, yeah, they can, because they're better. And it was like a lot of skilled guys that play a skilled game, less of the physical trying to check. But you guys have kind of pushed it back the other way, which I love when sports go back and forth between strategies.
I think the Hawks, though, they beat us out in 2010 for the Cup, and I was with the Flyers then.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good series, but I didn't think they were, you know, a small team at all. I thought they had good size. They had some big players that played heavy. I think the Hawks won Cups. You know, everybody looks at Patrick Kane and Duncan Keith, who are on the smaller side and are great players, But, you know, Taze is a heavy player. He's a big guy. He plays heavy. Hose is a big guy. He plays heavy.
Yeah.
They had a lot. Seabrook's a big guy. Plays heavy. You know, the Bufflins and the Lads, all these guys they had. They had a lot of heavy guys in their lineup.
I love that phrase, play heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, hey, go out there and play heavy.
But they had some smaller guys with great skill, and, like, Patrick Kane's a great player.
Yeah.
Can you take a skilled team that might be smaller, faster, and turn them into a more physical team?
Heavy.
Heavy team.
Not I love like, just you can phrase, like, let's play heavy tonight,
if
boys.
You know, look at me and Hank and Liam.
You can have players that aren't overly physical and hit everything in sight, but they play heavy. It's just winning puck battles. That's what it boils down to, using your body, winning puck battles, having heavy sticks. That's what I mean by heavy.
Hitting the rice bucket.
Yeah.
Getting your forearms.
Is heavy a state of mind?
Yes.
Sounds like it.
It is. I mean, you look at the Detroit Red Wings team when they're good, 90s, like late, little later in the 90s, or 2000s. 2008, 2007, 2009, they were a heavy team, but they weren't very big, but they had heavy sticks, and they won a lot of stick battles. That's all they won.
Yeah.
Is there a guy in today's game that younger you would have liked to go out there and fight?
Like somebody right now?
Yeah.
Who I would like to fight?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I don't really think about fighting, boys.
Do you ever think about, like, maybe if we could change the rules and, like...
There's always a guy on every team, every game we play that I'd probably like to grab.
Yeah, right.
I'm not going to say names.
Instead of overtime, coaches fight?
I'm not involved with the coaches at the end of the other team, really.
Okay.
I don't really...
Do you do the stare down, though? I love the stare down.
I don't even look over there.
Or the yell back. Have you had a moment where you've just been screaming at the other coach?
No.
I bet you I could find one.
You couldn't find one.
I bet you. Could I find one?
I think you probably
I don't
find
think
one.
So. I don't even really? Look over there.
Or like you're yelling like over
that.
The glass.
It's like Twitter over there.
Yeah, you're getting spittle on Pierre.
Shit. Yeah.
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 Have
fuck
to
that.
Give him a towel, wipe his head off after.
You just look over and you see the other coach and it's just a big Twitter logo and you're like, doesn't even exist in my
blinded,
life.
Blinded. Just see red. You mentioned earlier that there were some times that you'd be playing and you'd usually know who you would have to fight that night, but sometimes there are teams where you could take a little break. Was there ever a guy that came up to you and tried to start a fight with you and you knew that you would just damage him so badly that you just had to like laugh and say, hey buddy, we can't do this for your own safety?
That's a cool thing to say.
I love that. When they like, or like when the soccer guy does the
I've had to drop the gloves with a few guys because of you know, a situation on the ice where everybody was kind of going at it. Back in the day, called 5-on-5 line brawls, and I've grabbed, you know, our guys grabbed me, who's not a fighter and he's not very big and stuff, and I didn't do nothing.
Right, you just look at him like, come on, man, not fun.
It's like a fly buzzing around.
I'm helping you. Yeah, I like that. That's a badass.
I let him off the hook.
Yeah. Do you think you say the word in a given day, the word fuck or the word boys more?
Boys.
Yeah. I mean, that's such a hockey 101. Like, everything's boys.
Probably
come on,
boys.
Let's go, boys.
Yeah.
Pick it up, boys.
But it's close.
It is close. Yeah. Play heavier, boys. Come on, what the fuck, boys. Yeah, I like that. Boys.
We have this ongoing debate on this podcast. Where does an upper body injury start, and where does a lower body injury start?
I would say an upper body is waist up.
Mm-hmm. Waist up.
Lowers waist down.
What about hip?
That's called an in-between.
In-betweener. All right, so now when they announce like someone's got a lower body, do you know what they have?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, on the other team?
No. Oh, on your team. You always know.
Yeah, I know everything.
Man, I was kind of hoping that the doctors just wouldn't tell. Like, the doctors played dumb and was like, it's a lower body. We're not telling you what it is.
No, the doctors don't talk to us. The trainers. Our trainer, medical guy, tells us exactly what it is.
I thought maybe just nobody knew, and the player was just like, it hurts up here. And they're like, oh, if that's upper,
he's got
a youper.
Well, do you ever get scared that you're going to accidentally let it slip, that it's like a knee when you're trying to say it's a lower body?
No. You
just say lower upper.
Yeah.
That's it. Mm. Okay. That's smart. I have one last question. SeatGeek question. Promo code TAKE. We're with Craig Berube. He is the coach of the St. Louis Blues. Stanley Cup champions, defending Stanley Cup champions. Put in promo code TAKE, you get $10 off SeatGeek purchase. What do you bench? Just randomly, just asking. Just no reason. What do you bench?
I could probably get about 275 up
275?
There.
275?
Maybe.
Would we have a bench press close by?
Oh, Big Cat, there's one right behind you.
Oh, I didn't even see this. Okay. Well, we could get 275 on this bar.
Let's fucking go, boys.
Try to, you know, fucking put up some weight.
I'm not warmed up.
275 is good.
That's not bad. That's very good. Impressive. Yeah.
You know, 275 is good. I'm an older guy now.
Yeah. Do you ever do stuff like that just to show the guy, like the boys on the
gym.
Team that you still
I
got
I go
it?
To the gym every day and work out in there.
Yeah.
How just many, what percentage of people or of players on the team do you think you could bench press more than right now?
Oh, I don't know. Probably not very many.
Oh, they're I'm sure there are a few. Yeah, there are a few that can't
These guys are in good shape. They work out a lot.
Bennington's got noodle arms.
Well, the goalies, maybe.
Goalies are a different breed, right?
Yeah, they don't have to do too much.
What do you do psychology wise with a goalie? Do you leave them alone?
Yeah, I leave them alone.
I love goalie that about
coach.
Goalies.
Goalie coach will talk to them.
Everyone, if you ever talk to anyone,
I say hi to them and bye, and that's about it.
Seriously, if you ever talk to any hockey player, like, yeah, goalies just different breed. Like, we just let them do their thing.
I have one last question for you. I'm not going to make you predict a back-to-back Stanley Cup for the St. Louis Blues. I know you're thinking that you will win, but who do you think is coming out of the East?
Oh, I don't know. There's a lot of good teams. Look at the Flyers right now. They're on a roll, man. They're right there. They're playing some great hockey. Boston's obviously Tampa. There's too many good teams to pick. Mm-hmm. Wash, you know.
Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to hear you say Washington.
Like, there's a lot of good teams. That it's tough. You just want to give yourself a chance. You got to get in there, and then anything can happen in this league. You know, everybody sees that. It's like that. You know what I mean? Playoffs are different. You get on a roll, and you keep going. I mean, you never know.
Yeah.
So there's so many good teams. Like, it's tight. It's close.
Oh,
it really is.
Last question. Playoffs. Is there ever a time when you're in the playoffs and you see a guy and you're like, dude, or sorry, like, what do you call, guy,
buddy.
Boy, buddy, pal, maybe do a little shaving because your playoff beard is disgusting. Like, the guy who really can't grow a playoff beard.
Sydney.
Yeah. Do you ever do that? Like, hey, tighten that up because it's making us all look bad. Or do you just let it go?
I don't really say nothing to what they do.
Okay.
They want to have some facial hair or not. It doesn't matter to me.
Okay,
really.
The anti-Yankees. That's what you are. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah, I'm not concerned about that. I'm just concerned about their play.
Yeah,
it's probably
that's
smart.
It.
Yeah, that's probably just why you're a coach.
How you play on
coach.
The yeah. Yeah, just play.
Yeah,
you know, whatever your you know how you want to look, facial hair. You know, your hair doesn't matter to me so much.
Just get out there and move your feet.
I worry about playing, how you're playing. That's all that matters.
Move your feet. That's right. Play heavy. You say that all the time? Move your feet.
Skate.
Get out there and skate heavy.
Keep your stick on the ice. That's a big one. Eddie O always teaches that. Good things happen when you keep the stick on the ice.
Mm-hmm. Hit the net.
Forecheck.
Yes.
Shoot it.
Cycle the puck.
Do you ever find yourself actually screaming shoot it during a power play like everybody else does?
You shoot!
Shoot the puck. Come on. Shoot it.
They're like way outside.
I'll tell you a funny story. So Larry Robinson, you know, the great defenseman, mm-hmm. he works with our organization. So when I took over as coach last year, he came in and we just wanted him around because, you know, taking things over, and he's done this. He's taken over a team, the Devils, in term, and they won a cup.
He's the other one.
So he's a very smart guy and has a lot of great insight and things like that. Great guy. So we brought him on the bench because we wanted him out there and just to, you know, get things going and help. And somebody's screaming on the bench, shoot! It's Larry Robinson. He screamed shoot when we had the puck in our own end.
Oh, I love it. That's a true
fan.
He loved
to yell shoot.
That's what we do. So do I.
Yes. I didn't have to yell it.
Yes, yeah. You have to. All right. Well, Coach, thank you so much. This has been awesome. I would say best of luck, but I don't like the Blues. So
best
just,
of luck.
No problem.
I'll go out there and try to play as heavy as you can.
You got it. Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it. It was awesome.
That interview with Craig Berube was brought to you.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay.
It was awesome.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, let's get to some segments. Quick show announcement as well. We have what were you going to say, Hank? What are you going to say, Hank?
You go first. I'll go after second.
Well, I was going to say Billy Football was back on Monday, and good news is Billy Football might be back once a week to do a little deep dive into different subjects that we give him. So get ready for that. We're going to do some different quarantine stuff to keep everyone happy and excited and interested in the show. So we're going to have him once a week. And we also are going to be releasing some of the Barstool Gold, some of our better interviews, right? So we're doing that for the people because it's quarantine time. Everyone's locked in their home. So we're going to do that so that the people can hopefully enjoy that. What were you going to say, Hank?
Well, first, also on top of that, we're doing Tiger King on Friday, and we released Exotic Joe, Tiger King, LSU, and Cincinnati Bengals shirts.
They're sick.
Little combo.
They're the best shirts we've ever made. I'm confident in saying that. I am confident in saying they are the greatest shirts we have ever made.
I'm addicted to saying Exotic Joe. I can't stop saying it. It's like one of those mental blocks in my head. I can't stop.
You want to go to Exotic Joe's stripper joint.
These shirts are so good that I'm going to buy them. I can get them for free, but I feel guilty taking them. So I'm going to pay money to get them instead.
And then my other question was, since we just did Berube and with the NHL and NBA, like if the seasons get canceled, are the Raptors and the Blues, what happens?
They're defending champs still.
Are they dynasties? Do they become dynasties for
the back-to-back? Yeah, is it two-time defense? Like what is, like they've been the long, like that's weird.
I don't know. I don't feel comfortable with Canada having back-to-back NBA championships.
Yeah, it's weird. It is weird. But
I don't think they would feel good about that either. Canada would probably give it back and say fair is fair.
They have to do it.
Give it to the Bucks.
They have to do it. They have to figure out a way to do it. Let's not give up hope. All right. So first up, we're going to do Mount Flushmore in a second. But we did promise to everyone that we were going to this summer – get upset at the NFL 100 list, because the NFL 100 list, if people remember, they released the list in December when we were balls deep in sports, balls deep in football. We didn't have time to get upset about it. So we put it on our calendar. We said, we're going to get upset about this sometime in July. Well, guess what? Life has different plans because the coronavirus popped up and we have no sports. So we're going to get mad at it now. So once a week, we're going to get mad at a different position group. This week, we're going to get mad at tight ends. Now, the NFL 100 list that they came up with, they have five tight ends on it. Mike Ditka, Tony Gonzalez, Rob Gronkowski, John Mackey, Kellen Winslow Sr. And judging by how they've done these lists, they always try to get at least two guys from, like, history, basically. Like, historical guys who their numbers clearly, like Tony Gonzalez – puts John Mackey and Mike Ditka's numbers to shame, but the game is different. So they kind of pick the guys who invented the position, so to speak. I don't know if I have any really gripes in it. I tried to find a gripe. I think my gripe, I'm mad that I can't get mad.
No, I'll give you a gripe right off the bat. They just gave us a group of tight ends. They didn't rank them. So I'm mad that you didn't have the balls, NFL, to list them numbers 1 through 5 in all-time best tight ends in NFL history.
Okay.
So I'm mad about that because it's kind of a cop-out on their part. I'm also mad because I went to the website, I was looking at their list, and I'm mad that we're not going to get to see the NFL 100 logo anymore, that they're going to take that away from us. So I'm pretty mad about that, I guess. I'm pretty mad about what I'm not going to get to see.
Yeah.
I don't mind what they're doing, putting some of the legends in the game. But in the spirit of getting mad, I feel like you should only have one player on this list who revolutionized the tight end position.
Right.
You don't have three different guys that I would say give it to Kellen Winslow. Kellen Winslow is the guy that revolutionized the tight end. John Mackey, I'm going to put him in the pile of, he played against plumbers and doctors.
Well,
so,
okay.
So if you put like Tyler Eifert on his team, then he probably would have had 2,500 receiving yards and 30 touchdowns in a year. So he's the one that I'm going to get mad at And it's mostly because I just never watched him play.
Okay, so I'm going to end up at the same place as you, but I'm going a different route. I actually think Kellen Winslow should be on there, or you also think he is, but he didn't revolutionize tight ends. I think Mike Ditka, I was actually looked through it. Mike Ditka came on the scene 2 years before John Mackey. Mike Ditka was the first tight end to ever have 1,000 yards receiving in a season. John Mackey never did that. And Mike Ditka was also the first tight end to be voted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So I think if you want to do like who revolutionized the position, he's the guy. Kellen Winslow was an incredible tight end in the next era. So I think John Mackey, if I had to pick, and I don't really have a gripe with this, but if I had to pick, I would take out John Mackey and I'd put in Antonio Gates.
Hey, that's what I had too. I don't mind having Ditka on the list either, because I don't look at Ditka as being the guy that revolutionized the position. And that might just be me being an idiot, but I look at Ditka as being like the guy that did it all, who is still very much a part of the game. The guy that farts on national television. The guy farts that won a Super Bowl and wore a cool vest. The guy that smoked so many cigars in his office that they had to change the windows after he left. And also, yeah, he was a badass tight end way back in the day. So I have no problem with Ditka being on that list. And they had Collinsworth called him a no-brainer. And yeah, that's a big-time pot calling the kettle black situation.
He farts on me too. He farted on me that time when he took my shirts. Mike Ditka in 1961 had 56 receptions and 1,076 yards. I mean, that had never been, no tight end had ever done that. And so John Mackey didn't even have 1,000 yards in his career in any single year. So I think he gets in as the revolutionary guy. And then you keep Kellen Winslow and you maybe add Antonio Gates. But again, I don't have a problem with it, because I also was watching John Mackey highlights, and he was a beast. Like, he was ripping off 50-yard touchdowns, which didn't happen back then either. So I guess they did an okay job with the tight ends. I think my actual gripe here is that they did a good job, and it leaves me no place to get angry.
Well, yeah, I'm sure Mackey was good. Don't get me wrong. I just never watched him. So he's the easiest one for me to take off the list
today,
right now.
I watched him
today. Nice. Tony Gonzalez, I thought he's just too handsome to not put on this list.
Well, Tony Gonzalez also, like,
just a stunning guy.
Tony Gonzalez definitely is one of those guys that had two things going against him. One, he came right before Rob Gronkowski, the best tight end ever. And two, he never won a Super Bowl. And that was kind of always a knock, because he was the guy for the Chiefs for so many years. He was a Pro Bowler 14 out of 17 seasons. That's insane. He was like, he put up insane stats basically every single year. And he just, I feel like the fact that Gronk came right after him and everyone was like, oh my God, look at Gronk. And also, you know, the tight end position changed a little with Jimmy Graham and Antonio Gates and Jason Witten. I feel like Tony Gonzalez doesn't get as much credit as he probably deserves.
I like you tossing Jason Witten into that equation.
Jason Witten's stats, dude, are actually pretty impressive when you actually like look at all the tight ends. I think he's second all time in tight end yards. So
yeah, because he's had 720 yards receiving for 19 years.
But he's got 13,000 receiving yards and 72 touchdowns. So he's not – Antonio Gates has the most touchdowns as a tight end with 116. But yeah, Jason Witten is right. Like, he would be
– he's a compiler.
He'd be right after that next list of like Ozzie Newsome and Shannon Sharp and like those guys, and then it would be Jason Witten.
Disagree. I have Jason. That's now I'm mad. Jason Witten is on my third or fourth tier of tight ends.
Ooh.
in the lower pantheon of all time great tight ends.
No, man, he's better than that. You're thinking about Jason Witten Monday Night Football.
I'm not yeah, thinking about. I've banished that from my brain. I did the Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind procedure and had that portion of my brain removed. Thank God. But if you look at his stats, what is the season that he? How many yards receiving did he have in his best season?
He is absolutely a compiler, but there's definitely something to be said for a guy who does it for that long and does it at that level. I think you can absolutely say, like, you can have the Gronks who have incredible careers, and Gronk's not even a good example for this. Like, Terrell Davis, it would be a good example for it, where he was unbelievable for like 3 or 4 years. Let's see, Jason Witten, I'm looking at it right now. Jason Witten had he's had 4,000 yard plus seasons. So he's
one,
had
two, three.
He's had four.
Yeah.
And he's come pretty damn close. He's had two other ones that were above 900. I think Jason Witten is if you go Antonio Gates, Ozzie Newsome, Shannon Sharp, then Jason Witten is right below that.
Disagree. I'm gonna throw a flag on that one. That's fine.
We don't third tier.
Embrace debate. He's in my third tier. Solid third tier guy after I'm looking at these stats, but still, like, most of the season it's like 600, 700, 900, 700, 700, 600, 500, 900.
He's second all time. He's second all time in tight end receptions, second all time in tight end yards, and fifth all time in tight end touchdowns. It's pretty damn good.
Right. Yeah, he's certainly been doing it for a long time.
To put a recap on this, this was good sports debate. I feel alive again. This is what it's there for. It's supposed
good,
to get us.
It's good
like
to
our
get mad fun. About stuff.
Yes.
Like, I got mad at Bill O'Brien the other day, and it was awesome. It was awesome to be mad at somebody.
Here's another fun little stat when I was looking through all this stuff. It's incredible to think about how much bigger, like, Gronk and even Tony Gonzalez were than – like a Mike Ditka. Mike Ditka was 6'3", 228 pounds. So Mike Ditka was basically like my height and weight. And then Gronk is
That's still pretty big.
Oh, I guess. It's still pretty big. It's still pretty big. But Gronk is 6'6", 270. Like, he is a monster of a man compared to Mike Ditka. I'm sure we can obviously do this throughout all of NFL. But imagine if you put 6'6", 270 Gronk in like 1961. What he would do to the NFL. Incredible.
He'd probably go to Woodstock and die. Yeah.
No, Mike Ditka would still be – like he would still – that's still very big, but he would be considered undersized for a tight end now.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Most people in the NFL right now would be – like Darren Sproles would be an average height running back in 1961. I do also think – it brought me back to the story that Gronk told us about when he got the call from Roger Goodell, and he thought it was a prank, and so I remember he was just like, hello?
Yes.
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 And he made Goodell call him back like three times. I think when Ditka got this call, his wife probably took it, and Ditka was like, who cares? And just hung up on him.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, he's like, oh, this isn't like the golf reservation. Call me when the local country club is back open so Mike can get out of the house.
Exactly. But I think Ditka likes having stuff to not care about, like just being able to alpha stuff. People calling him up and like paying him a compliment. He's like, I don't care. This is not important. Because then if you get elected to the all-time NFL 100 team and you get to alpha that list, then you're just alphaing history, which is pretty cool.
Although I'm hoping Coach is quarantined somewhere far away because he's up there in age. All right, should we do our Mount Flushmore before we do Guys on Chicks? We're going to do
– Yeah, I'm very excited about this one.
By the way, it was great results on Twitter. You really got everyone buzzing. I got ratioed real hard. The Part of My Take Twitter got ratioed real hard. It was almost great to like get ratioed and just be like, I didn't even look at it. I was just like, let it just happen. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll keep doing that. We're going to pick our worst four of something and then tweet it out like it's regular Mount Rushmore. Hank had the idea for today. It's Mount Flushmore of worst types of water. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, DM me you should do like water brands, and I realize there's not enough water brands, so we should just do water. I like the broader ones.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So PFT's going first, right?
Yep.
Okay, so PFT goes first. Yeah, because we were just going down the line of youngest to oldest.
Okay. My first one, I'm going to go with Tidal Waves.
Tidal Waves.
Tidal Waves, awful. Awful. Okay.
Party wave, though.
Awful water.
Like, imagine if you could surf one and say that you surfed a tidal wave.
Yeah, that'd be sick for one guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but imagine if that one
guy.
I would
say overall, tidal waves, not a fan.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to go with.
Some say tidal wave, some say party wave.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to go with toilet water, but with some remnants of, like, the person who'd been there before. That type of toilet water, oh my God, the grossest type of water. And that's the one nice thing about not being in the office right now. You don't have to walk into a bathroom and be like, oh, and okay.
Yeah.
I will go with vodka that's in a water bottle that you
put in water. Damn, I had that. I had water that is actually vodka.
Yep. Yeah, that's actually, that's how I had it written too, but.
Oh, sure. I'm sure you did.
Yeah.
I swear.
Shout out Maurice Claret. Get your goose on.
Get your goose on.
And then right underneath that, I have hot faucet water.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, if you're going, like, you're already at the point where you're like, I'm just going to do tap water, and then you turn it on, it's, like, piping hot. It's just, it's like, not water. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
I agree with that, Hank. There's a big difference between hot faucet water and water that you boil in a pot on your stove.
Yes, absolutely.
All furthermore, right, do you guys think that you could tell the difference between the water that comes out of your kitchen faucet and the water that comes out of your bathroom faucet?
No.
No.
In the house that I grew up in, I think I could.
Okay. Yeah, but no, I think it's all probably the same. All right, my next one, I'm going to go with like a little bit of water on your seat when you sit down. That's the worst. And you get that like feeling of like, did I piss myself? Did I shit myself?
Then you can't,
real quick. If you get up, everyone's going to be like, look at that guy. Look at the back of his fucking pants.
Or like when you sit on a cushion that has soaked up water like night before and you didn't realize it.
Or like if you're like, if you're sitting on like a lawn chair with a little bit of water on it and it just like, it gets in your ass crack. And you're like, oh, that sucks.
Yeah. If you sit down on like some metal bleachers at a football game and it's been raining maybe a couple hours before, that is an awful feeling.
Awful feeling. Awful feeling. Hate that water.
All right. My next one, I'm going to go with.
Wait, don't you have two?
Hot dog. No, it's PFT's got two.
I got two.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we got lost in the snake.
I mean,
what a great tradition. I've got hot dog water. The remnants of after you boil hot dog
water.
That's disgusting. That is the grossest thing that you've ever said in your entire life.
So delicious.
What?
Drink it all.
Terrible. Oh my God, big cat. Stop. Stop it right now.
I mean, it's got nutrients in it.
You don't actually drink hot dog water.
No, I don't actually drink hot dog water. But I'm saying
that's the Chicago equivalent of juicing. On a diet. Cleansing.
Which
Next one is going to be icebergs. Mm. Hate icebergs. What have they ever done for anyone?
We need We need
icebergs. Them, dude. You need them for the climate. They're nature's ice coolers. Caps. No, but that's
polar ice caps.
Yeah, but icebergs are part of that.
No,
they
not.
Come
icebergs
off.
Icebergs are just
ice caps. That's how they start. A bunch of icebergs combined.
Yeah, yeah. The ice icebergs are ice caps. One day we're ice caps. They break off.
Icebergs. They're just
where do you think Billy Zane from?
Killers. Icebergs? Satan.
they break off. It's a sign of a bad climate. They're terrible. Terrible.
Well, yeah. So then you should hate icebergs too. They should all be intact.
Yeah, they should stay intact. All right, my next one, I'm going to go
Wait,
with
– my turn.
No, shut up, Hank.
No.
God damn it.
It's Big Cat's
turn. Oh, yeah. All right. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the order that our video's in. I'm getting fucked up.
Yeah, we know. How about acid rain? I don't even know if that exists. I feel like that's a complete fake thing, but I think it would suck if we had acid rain. Chernobyl?
Agreed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that sucks. This is a rain.
I've been hearing about acid rain since I was like a little kid. And right. So I'm sure it exists somewhere, and that would be awful to get caught in.
It would suck so bad. Hate that water.
Now it's my turn. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Rain?
Rain?
Yeah. And cardboard water is my last one.
Oh, that shit sucks.
Like
shit
box water?
Suck.
Box water, whatever it's called?
Yeah. That Not shit sucks.
Disgusting.
Okay. But
just rain.
Rain. I mean, who likes rain?
This is yesterday, kind of
Australians. They had a party and a festival when it rained in Australia.
It was so depressing yesterday. It was raining. It was just like there. I mean, you can't even go outside anyway. But it's like, who likes rain? Who likes rain?
This is like going back to the roasting of people's Skypes. PFT just wanted to talk about Mike Greenberg. I think you just picked this so you could talk about rain to roast rain.
Me?
Yeah.
No.
You could have just been like, dude, it sucked that it rained yesterday, and we could have skipped this whole thing.
No. I mean, that was third on my list. I really racked my brain, and then I was like, you know what? Water sucks. Rain.
Okay, rain. All right, my last one is water in your shoe. That sucks so bad. You get that little squish going, and you just got like wet socks for the rest of the day. That's a day ruiner, big time.
You're just a water on your clothes aphobic.
Well, I mean, there's certain I can deal with water on my shirt. I can deal with water in my hair. I can deal with water, maybe even like on my kneecaps. But shoes and ass, no, thank you.
Fair.
My last one is going to be brackish water.
Mm.
It's the mix of fresh water and salt water, so yeah, like, kind of a tweener.
Is that English?
What's your deal,
fish or fowl?
Brackish? Yeah, no, yeah. It's like pick a lane.
Yeah, it's not full salt water, Hank, but it's also not full fresh water.
It's a mix.
So it's just like it's just shit water.
It's you going up to the Taco Bell and getting like Mountain Dew, Pepsi, and going down the line.
Yes,
actually, no. I would say it's like you going to the drink fountain and mixing regular Coke with Diet Coke.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, so not, I do that with Mountain Dew and Baja Blast. Lockwood's Delight.
Lockwood's Delight. All right. Anything else? The only other one I had was the lead water that brought down the Romans. That probably sucked.
That's not good. I would say
they invented aqueducts, though. So
yeah,
kind of a
very good.
There you go, Hank.
Eye for an eye situation.
True. That's exactly right.
What about the water that's in the bathtubs at Hilton hotels when the maids don't forget to unplug it and you have to stand in the shower for 2 seconds before unplugging it?
Brutal.
Peter King.
Brutal. Waterloo.
Yeah. Lukewarm water at a water fountain after a workout. That's maybe the worst water. I can't believe I didn't pick that. Oh. That's a really bad. When you're like if you're playing basketball and then you go try to take a drink and it's like almost borderline hot but lukewarm and it's just disgusting.
Or
that's bad.
Hotel water in the shower that doesn't get hot enough.
Yeah. Damn. So like, there's a lot of bad water out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about water at a hotel that you thought was free and then you start drinking it and you looked at it's not free at all?
It's actually $15.
Charge it to the company.
They collected it off the rim of a volcano. Five people had to die to bring you this water.
Company will.
You think that's free, buddy?
Man, you're all about death today, man. We got to pick you up. Tenth time you've been like, we're all going to die.
Tommy Lasorda is still alive, though.
Yes, as far as we know, at the time of this recording, 9:33 p.m. Eastern time. Oh man, it's like a do you know how your friend's depressed? He keeps bringing up death.
what about water with a Band-Aid in it, just a Band-Aid floating in it? That's pretty bad water.
What about your last drink of water?
Yeah, that's a pretty bad one too. That's a really
backwash.
Bad one.
yeah
no, all right. Like right before you die, he's saying.
Yeah.
Oh no, Hank, why'd you have to go there?
Sup, boys, especially Mr. 35. I'm currently stuck quarantined with my cheating ex-girlfriend in our one-bedroom apartment that we share a lease on until July. It's been bad, but the quarantine makes it significantly worse. I wonder why. Any advice on ways to make this suck any less? Just some background. Neither of us can afford to move out and have two separate places as we just graduated college last May.
Fuck it out.
Mm-hmm. I think now's the time where you rediscover true love, like we talked about on Monday's show. This could be.
Here's an actual.
Like, it's meant to be for you guys.
Yeah. Here's an actual thought, though. Just, and kind of fucked up, but just start coughing and say you might have the Rona. She probably won't be there for very long.
And if she does, then maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it was meant to be.
Yeah. The old saying, there are no atheists in foxholes. There's no one's not horny in a quarantine.
Yeah. As Mark from Love is Blind's mom said, if you let something go and it comes back, it was meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
My friend had a wedding 2 weeks ago, and then the groom bailed on the bride the morning of. Had to call off the wedding of more than 200 people. Now they are talking again and likely getting back together. What should I do?
You did a good job. You talked her through it real quick.
Mm-hmm. This is one of those situations where everyone has at least one friend who loves the drama and loves to be in the crazy relationship, and you just got to spot that friend and let them be. Let them do their thing. They probably are going to get married, divorce, get married, get divorced, do like a renewing of their vows a billion times over. Just let it happen. Let it happen and let them have it.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. All right, last one. So I'm going to read this in an English accent because it's an English girl.
This should be good.
Sup, guys. I'm an English with an American boyfriend, parentheses AWL, who has been working in London. We've been together about a year, and when we both started to work from home a week ago, and we went to my family home in the countryside. In that week, all flights to USA had been canceled, and yesterday the government banned us from leaving home unless essential. My boyfriend is quarantined for at least a month with my... All right, fuck that. My boyfriend is quarantined for at least a month with my parents and younger sister. He's only met them once or twice. How do I come out of this without him thinking my family are lunatics and vice versa? How do I stop him ordering expensive cheeses to give my parents as a thank you? How do I make it through the month in a small house with nobody knowing we have sex? Has the potential to be a great bonding experience or disaster. I'm spending a small fortune on international tech, so please help me. Oh, wow. So she's...
Okay, yeah, so
shout out to her. Oi.
All right, so right off the bat, the whole spending a lot of money on cheese, that's just a currency issue. If you're in a foreign country, you don't understand how your currency translates to their dollar or their pound or their euro or whatever it is. So you just spend money like it doesn't mean anything. So you just need to remind him that the money that he's spending is actually real. Otherwise, he's just going to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm. And this is one of those ones where I feel like you just have to keep telling yourself that this is the start of a great love story. Like, you'll tell your grandkids about this when you're sitting on a porch. And if that's not the case, you'll probably just break up. It will be messy and you can just move on. But we'll still be alive.
You can always tell your girlfriends about the time that you got to bang a circumcised guy for a month.
Mm-hmm. It would be fun. Uncircumcised.
No, if he's American, probably circumcised.
Oh, he's American. She's British?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I didn't follow that part. Yeah, there you go. So your weekend away from the anteaters.
All right, that's it.
Great. All right. We'll see everyone Friday. Make sure you watch Tiger King, Tiger King, Tiger King. We're going to try to get someone on. Hank, are you going to hit up Doc? Yeah, you are.
Oh,
Before you start playing video games, let's hit up Doc. We're going to hit up Doc, baby.
I'll see what I can do.
But yeah, watch Tiger King. We might be able to get someone on. Who are we going to run on Friday? Let's get the people excited. LeVar Ball?
Yeah, hell yeah.
All right, let's run LeVar Ball.
It's an old throwback style interview. We did it via Skype. So it was hectic to say the least. It was fun.
Yeah, I don't think we asked one real question, which is exactly what you'd expect for a LeVar Ball interview, because I don't think he would ever answer a real question.
Nope. No, he looks at that as a sign of weakness. Oh, you want to talk to me?
All right, we'll see everyone Friday. Right,
love you guys. Love you guys. Moosh, moosh. Talking away.
Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.